Hey, before we jump into the episode, I want to talk to you about an offer that is too good to refuse. Now, you've heard on this show how finding a coach changed my life when I opened my first restaurant and how a business coach back in 2008 helped me really rebrand my consulting company into what is now known as the Restaurant Coach brand. I cannot emphasize enough how powerful coaching is, but the only real way to understand what coaching is to experience for yourself. That's why I'm going to give you the opportunity to try out coaching for yourself for just $1. The Restaurant Coach University is my number one group coaching program in the world with members from 17 countries enrolled. It is the fast track to getting results. You get 2 hours of live coaching with me personally each month, plus 24/7 access to my private training library. And that's where I keep the good stuff. And also, you get access to my private community where you can ask questions and get answers 7 days a week. Just head over to the link in the show notes to get started now for $1 for the first 30 days.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to another episode of the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. You know, they say that experience is a great teacher, but what if you don't have a lot of experience? What do? You just push through with the two things you do have, and that's passion and tenacity. Now, my guest today has both. Philip Lee is a young entrepreneur based in Los Angeles that took a radical 180-degree turn from the corporate career path he started out on and decided to create an ice cream empire. And here's a funny, really, I mean, so inspirational. He started it from his garage. His story, I'm telling you, it is a huge motivation and also a lesson in how coaching can really help you compress decades of experience into days. So make sure to take notes and let's jump into the interview. Hey, and welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast, another episode of the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. I am so honored to have on the call today Phil Lee from Swirl's Creamery out in L.A. Phil, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. It's an honor.
You know, the honor's mine. I mean, and just to give people a little background about you, you know, Phil and I have had a working relationship for probably over a year now.
Yeah, I reached out back in October 2019.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, and he's been in my coaching program. He's also in my mastermind program. He's also in our new restaurant KPI mastery program. So Phil has a lot of, you know, kind of work with me. And here's the thing. I wanted to bring Phil on the show because I have seen this young man transform from a very young, you know, kind of like green, you know, business owner to now a very mature, seasoned and really kind of growing as a leader as he's kind of expanding his brand. And I'm just really proud of you. And I want to get you on the show and just kind of go over some of the things that are happening out in the world with you. So,
oh man, I appreciate you for saying that. It means the world to me, honestly. I mean, like a lot of things that I guess like where I got myself here. Well, not even like by myself, it's a lot of times it's with you, it's with everybody else in the KPI mastermind, restaurant mastermind group. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of my growth owes it to you guys. So, you know, thank you guys for, you know, taking that time and taking that energy to answer a bunch of my questions and, you know, dealing with me. Because I know, like, what was it when we first started? I was a different Phil, you know, and
we were a different
Phil. And I remember, and I'm comfortable in my own skin saying this now, but like back then when problems or type of issues comes out, like let's say somebody on the team kind of messes up, it would just mm-hmm. be like a knee jerk emotional reaction instead of taking a more calmer, more logical approach now. So I think like that owes to, you know, coaching and like learning from somebody like yourself and everybody else in the mastermind group.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and here, and a little bit about, tell a little bit, people a little bit about your concept, what Swirl's Creamery really is.
No, absolutely. So Yeah, so for us, we make the freshest ice cream possible. What I like to tell our guests is that, especially the ones that have never been here, is that we never pull our ice cream out from the freezer. We are the freezer. We are the freezer. We actually make your ice cream to the order. It's made fresh, the freshest possible, because we never pull it on the freezer. We literally have our special cold plate machines. They kind of look like anti-griddles, but on caster wheels. And we literally pour on the ice liquid ice cream base that we make in-house from scratch. And we just work at it, chop in any type of mix-ins, any type of ingredients to form all sorts of different flavors that we have.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, if you've never been, if nothing else, go on Instagram, find Swirls Creamery, follow Phil. Phil does an excellent job. His social media marketing has really, really developed over the year, especially the last couple of years, the last year I've been working with him. And I'm telling you, the man is great at doing video. And I'm always telling all my, I told everyone on our mastermind group, how many times do I preach to them all the time? You got to do more video. And then who do I say? Hey, go watch Phil's videos.
I always feel, and that's the thing though. It's like, I don't know why, but maybe it's like a little bit of imposter syndrome where I just feel like, please don't look at my video.
But you know what? They're so authentic because they're you. I mean, it's your personality. I've hung out with you. I've been to your store. Your place in LA. I mean, it's you. And that's what marketing is really about, is about being authentic, really letting your personality come through. So LA right now is, you know, actually, I mean, oh God, LA is so screwed.
Yeah, so we just got hit with a news update with everything going on with the hospitality industry. So in LA County, by this Wednesday, tomorrow, actually, so November 25th, starting tomorrow, no outdoor dining whatsoever.
Damn.
And it crushes us, and it crushes me, because it's like, I don't know. It's really hard to operate, honestly.
It really is. No, it's not hard. It's like pretty much impossible. I mean, what are you supposed to be doing? I mean, takeout? I mean, you know, and it's hard for ice cream for takeout.
Yeah. But thankfully, we've been able to be okay with it. I mean, for us, it's all about just adapting and pivoting and leveraging. Because for us at Swirls, we've always had a lot of like tech integrated within our operations. So we do like a lot of online ordering, you know, third party delivery. For us, we have self-service kiosks as well. So for us, like with the whole self-service kiosk, we've actually seen it's so weird. I guess like people like to order more through a machine versus an actual person. So that's what we've saw. So that was a major.
You know, I think that's a trend. You know, a lot of the fast food places have started going to self-order kiosks too.
Yeah.
And they actually see that, you know, people like it. People like just walking up, putting in an order, going.
I think so. And I think it's about anonymity. And I believe that, I guess like maybe like ice cream's a little bit self-conscious, you know, you don't want your order being repeated back to you. You want
people to know.
So you want a large chocolate with extra chocolate chips, dark chocolate marshmallows, and graham crackers. Got it. All right. Yeah. No, people don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. No. Yeah. So that's where the self-service kiosk comes in place. And that's what we've seen. And it's been working, and people love it. People love it. And it's been efficient, and it helps the team be more efficient as well. Because before, we used to do, what was it? I timed it actually before our self-service kiosk installation. We would go about 5 to 6 minutes per cup on average. Right now, with the self-service kiosk in combination with, you know, other, you know, label printers and our KDS system, everything in tandem, especially like fixing up sort of like the operation side of it too, like where the topping jars at and which stations to go from which. Right. So we had to really like take a look at that and really pick it apart and really see, or try to streamline, make sure it kind of moves very, like there's a flow to it, almost like water, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no blockage. So we took a look at that. So with the self-service kiosk now, our average order, our average ticket time actually would be from 3 to 4 minutes now. So we knocked off by a minute. Yep.
Very cool. That's awesome. And that's probably, you know, and we talked, and you just mentioned the word pivot. What are some other things that you're doing in your restaurant right now to kind of pivot?
Yeah. So for us, I know I've been working on this for a long time, and I did have it on the menu, but I did take it off just because I just wasn't feeling okay with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was – I felt like I can do better with it. So what I'm working on right now is our version of more vegan or like non-dairy type of options. Right. but kind of like spin it where we can actually have it in a rolled form, which is what we, it's our main signature item where we make it fresh right in front, right? So that's what I'm working on. So starting tomorrow, I'm actually starting the trials. So actually going to be fun because I'm actually going to do sort of like a small video documentary of that. It's kind of start from the beginning all the way till end to the finished product and kind of see like, kind of give like a behind the scenes of how it looks like when you're creating new flavors in an ice cream shop. So we're doing that for us. Let's see. We are also looking at other places too, like what other locations can we branch out at,
right?
Especially right now where obviously when the economy goes down, a lot of times it also means a sale, right?
Right.
Yeah. In terms of real estate. So we're also looking at that too, looking for other opportunities to branch out and kind of expand.
Yeah. There's huge opportunities out there if people want to look for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some great, and I know you and I have been talking about some of the real estate deals. I mean, some sweet deals out there.
Oh yeah.
Really sweet deals. So, you know, I always say, you know, leadership is really critical, especially in times of stress and especially during this pandemic. And it's always kind of important in restaurants. And it's one of the things I think most restaurants lack is leadership. What do you think is the number one trait that a leader needs today?
The number one trait?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're gonna be proud of me for this answer, but the number one trait is that there's 21 of them.
21 irrefutable. 21 of them.
Yeah, so we just finished up the book by John C. Maxwell, right? Yep. 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
And yeah, if Phil's referring to, we have a different group. It's called our Leadership Book Club. And we just finished up the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Now, what's the new book we're on?
Who Moved My Cheese?
That's it.
There you go. Who Moved
My
Cheese?
I think that could be a fun one.
I think so. It's a really easy read. I have it on Audible. I just put it on my car, like with one drive, I was able to finish everything. Yeah, book. Yeah.
And so how do you distinguish yourself? I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's ice cream places all over the place, you know, all over your market. How do you distinguish yourself from the competition? What are some of the things that you really kind of market or talk about?
Right. So every single time a guest comes in,
mm-hmm.
I want them to feel like they're a guest. I think that's one thing I preach to the team too, is that we had to be careful about the words that we use. So mm-hmm. when we call people customers, we treat them like customers, but if we call them guests, now mm-hmm. we're treating them like a guest. And so for us, it's all about giving that hospitality without sacrificing customer service, right? Because customer mm-hmm. service, that's the tangible. That's what the guest can, you know, see and touch, you know, but the intangible, the hospitality part, this is what they can feel, how you made them feel, right?
Exactly.
So for us, one thing, and you look it up on our Yelp reviews, we had stellar Yelp reviews. Everyone loves mm-hmm. us for doing this, is that every single time if I can possibly talk to every single table, make sure they're doing all right. I share my story, I share my journey and to whoever wants to listen, really. And it's very simple. It's just treating people like people. And this is one thing that I kind of liked and about a Starbucks. And I kind of like, you know, like took that quote, but then turn it around and kind of like reformat it for ice cream, where it goes like this. You know, we didn't get into the ice cream business to serve people. We got into the people business to serve ice cream.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. So people come first, ice cream is second. And mm-hmm. our mission statement is to make people happy one cup of ice cream at a time.
Right. That's actually on your wall. It's on your wall. It's your mission statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, you and I worked a lot with core values because I work with all my clients on core values. How important do you think core values are?
Absolutely. It's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have your core values, but not just like have your team buy into it, but you actually have to go up and mm-hmm. show up and set the example. Right. Exactly. I think that we see it all the time. And I think that with me being in the mastermind group and being within the one-on-one coaching calls, and when I walk out and I go to other restaurants and I kind of see what we're learning and I kind of see it in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes to show like what we're learning in the mastermind groups is not just, you know, fluff. It's actually real evidence. And so what's my point is, you know, just the amount of hypocrisy, you know, from managers, from leaders, from the owners, right? Where it's more like, you know, do as I say, but not as I do. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for And I can touch on this with my personal experience and how I got into the restaurant industry too, of following someone that's basically a hypocrite. Yeah. You know, it's really hard. Absolutely. You know, you lose all integrity. You lose trust. And that's just a downfall of like a, it's just very, very slippery slope from there.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times when you get to all the way down there, it's mm-hmm. really hard to get back up.
No, it's yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's really, really hard. It's a long journey. It's a big fall and it's a hard climb to mm-hmm. get back up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I preach self-care all the time. And you know, I know all my clients have to do some kind of self-care. What do you do for self-care? What are some of the things you do for self-care?
Oh man. Okay. So meditate. Mm-hmm. I do Tony Robbins, I just got into it, Tony Robbins priming exercise. Yep. So that's in the routine right now.
I do that every morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 50 jumping jacks. So mm-hmm. 5 sets of 10. If I'm in the kitchen, if I'm making ice cream, do pushups in the kitchen. Yeah.
And it's perfect. Like a machine.
What?
You're like a push-up machine in your restaurant. Like when it's slow, I know like Phil's like, you know, if he's stressed, some people take a deep breath, Phil would like knock out push-ups.
Yeah,
it's
just crazy. Do push-ups or I like to put a seat near the corner of the wall and just do dips. Yeah.
No way, really?
Yeah, do dips, yeah. And if like nobody's looking, because we have like these two stools that has like these little divots in the middle. Mm-hmm. So I'll just pick them up, do some like shoulder raises, some lateral raises.
Next time you do that, get some video of that. I want to see some dips and shoulder raises, man.
Or I should like do that with like the two milk jugs too. Like just start curling with that, two milk jugs.
You're doing curls. I mean, you could turn anything into a workout if you're creative.
Yeah. And I think this is what one of our mastermind group members said. It's not the resources that you have, but it's the resourcefulness.
It's resourcefulness,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So how did you get started in the restaurant business?
Back to
college.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story or no?
Yeah, I think you have, but tell everyone else on this.
Yeah. Story. Yeah, for sure. So I started making ice cream from my garage during my senior year in college. So that mm-hmm. was January 2017 at the University of Redlands. I felt like for me, I was getting my degree, Bachelor of Science in Global Business. I studied abroad in Beijing, China during my junior year, found a job out there. Worked out there for corporate China for a luxury furniture corporation. And I was in their international sales department. And when I came back home, I just finished up my degree. And I just felt like, I guess like it felt a little weird, to be honest, mm-hmm. that the curriculum that was pushing for business degrees, right, in global business, you know, mm-hmm. or in other schools will be called international business. It's like kind of like the same thing. That there was no sign for entrepreneurship. And I was And I felt like when I brought up this idea that, hey, I want to start a small business and I want to go into ice cream, it just had like weird looks, like all the time. Just weird looks. You get like those people that say, oh, are you really sure that you want to go into it? It's really risky. There's a high chance of failure. You're going into the restaurant industry. It's going to be really, really hard. The margins are super slim. All that. Right?
What do we call those things?
And
BS, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's all BS, which mm-hmm. in coaching we call those belief systems. But some people call it just bullshit, which
right.
It is actually bullshit. So,
mm-hmm. And the crazy part, Coach, is those same people have come back and actually visited the shop and they actually seen – you know, what we've built over here at Swirls Creamery. Yeah. And so kind of like, I just remember this one time where somebody actually said like, yeah, I thought you were like BSing, but like, you actually did it. And I was like, I was like, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, we call that a backhand compliment.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. No worries.
Oh shit. He really did it.
Yeah.
Damn.
He did it. Okay. Yeah. 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 And so,
jerks.
It's okay, to each his own. But I think like that kind of gave me that fuel, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm in my garage, don't know anything about cooking, nothing in culinary. You know, if you were to ask 18, 17 year old Phil graduating out of San Gabriel High School in class of 2013, hey, in the future, you know what you're gonna be doing? You're gonna be doing ice cream. You'll be like, go to hell, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that ice cream was going to be something that I enjoyed doing and something that I'm actually good at.
until I actually started doing it. And then slowly over time, it became my passion project, really. Yeah.
And you actually, I've been to your place. I've had your ice cream. You are really good, actually.
Yeah. So
it's amazing.
What we did, what I did was I didn't have money for machines. So at the time, I was actually in a partnership with my cousin and my sister. Right. And long story short, it obviously collapsed. it was too much infighting. It was too many cooks in the kitchen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just everybody just wanted something and like it just didn't work out. And at first it was something that was supposed to be super fun, right? A family business, right? And that's sort of like, you know, that American dream, right? And it just quickly became kind of negative and kind of toxic. And it just, for me, I saw what it was and I valued, what I told him is I value your guys' relationship in my life than this business. So that's why I got to go. Right. Cause I value you guys more than what we're doing in terms of work right now. And I don't like the way that it's causing us, what the type of behavior and the toxicity is coming out of us, you know, during this time. And I don't like that. And nobody likes that.
I've seen very few businesses, very few, where family works well together. I always tell people, love your family, choose your business partners.
Yeah. So I learned that. So technically, I already failed at one business already. So Squirrels is my second. Yeah. So Squirrels would be my second. So when I first started making ice cream, what we did was we didn't have capital for the machines. So what we did was we took two aluminum plates, put the first one down, ran down the street to Smart and Final, grabbed 2 to 4 pounds of dry ice, put it down on the aluminum plate, and then grab a towel, wrap the dry ice, make sure it's all tight and tucked in so there's no air coming in. Grab a bottle of vodka, pour it over the towel and the ice so it provides insulation. Your second plate goes down, and then afterwards, what I noticed was the sort of like device that we kind of had was just, you know, wobbly. So in order to fasten everything down, we took 2 rubber bands from my mother's vacuum cleaners that she wasn't using anymore, and then fastened the two plates down. Yeah. And then so wait about 15, 18 minutes, that whole thing freezes over. And so what I had in my garage was basically the machines that you saw at our operation without any type of electricity.
Oh, wow. So
that's kind of how we started fiddling and tinkering with like ice cream.
That's amazing. I did not know that part. You didn't tell me. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I literally made ice cream for my garage. And so it came to a point where I just remember it. Like it was just failure after failure after failure after failure. We couldn't get it to roll. I couldn't get it to roll. Nobody can get it to roll until the point where for me, in my mind, and what I was kind of like rallying that hope, I was saying like, we just need one. We just need one sucker to roll and then we're going to be okay. And lo and behold, one rolled for us. And it was just, that was it. All right, here we go. Let's go ahead and grab, put in some savings into it and like try to get like an actual machine. So, you know, went on Alibaba and like actually mess with like, you know, import, export and getting all that from China all the way into the US. Wow. So that was a whole ordeal. And that was a lot. It was something that was never taught to me in college, right? And this was 21-year-old Phil doing all this and like getting the machines over here. And on the flip side though, I was actually learning how to make ice cream too on top of it. So anything I can find, any type of knowledge I can find, any type of books I can find, going all the way to even the chemistry behind ice cream. So understanding fat, protein, air, sugar, and water. Right? How all five of those things need to be in balance in order to make great tasting ice cream. So for me, I kept failing and failing, thing going all the way to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, dirty pots and pans. It was a grind. It really was. So the current version of the base that we use right now, that's actually my version number 9. Wow. So I failed 8 different times before I got to this one. Yeah.
You have any pictures of your like garage days?
I do have some video. Yeah, I do.
Awesome.
I should put it up. Yeah.
That'd be so epic.
Yeah. the one thing that I didn't do, and I, looking back on it, you know, hindsight 2020, is that I should have documented it, right? Mm-hmm. Gary Vee always says that, don't create, just document, right?
Document.
Document, just document it. And I should have done that. And
well, moving
I do have
forward,
some photos. I have to,
moving
I
forward, have some photo. On your new locations, this would be a perfect time to get some video and document how to expand
the brand.
That's
what it is. You know what? I'm going to take that up. And we're definitely going to do that. And then, so what I did afterwards, though, because once I was able to sort of get my footing in terms of the rolled ice cream, I still didn't know how to do everything, right? Like actually roll ice cream, like actually operate this, right? So one of the things that for me, I just went out there and found a job. You know, whatever rolled ice cream shop wanted to take me, and there you go.
Yeah.
And so how I started was, it was a pop-up shop. It was a table about 6 feet by 3 feet wide inside of a boba shop in San Gabriel Valley in the city of Alhambra. And we had one cashier, topping station, and then one machine. And so I would be working there, you know, get this. I'd be working there from 11:30 a.m. all the way till 11:30 at night.
Whoa.
Every single day for 11 days straight. Then I get 3 days off. I didn't have any meal breaks. And this is straight up illegal also.
Yeah, like, no shit.
Straight up illegal. I had no overtime pay.
Damn.
Yeah, no overtime pay. I have no meal breaks. If I'm going to go into the restroom, it's going to be on me. If I'm going to eat, it's going to be on me too. If guests come in, I got to stop eating and actually get up and go help out the guests. Wow. There's no seat for me, so I'll be standing on my feet all the time. Mm-hmm. On top of that, when my employer comes in at 7 o'clock, so I start at 11 to go prep. We open by 12, and then 7 hours pass. And then he kind of comes in. Sometimes he comes in a little bit earlier, but by 7 o'clock, normally he comes in, takes half my tips.
And half your tips too.
Took half my tips. Yep. And it was a learning experience, though. And I think I had to go through that experience in order to get where I'm at and to understand. I guess, like, you know, when I look back on things, it's like whenever you ask or you put it out there in the universe, like what you want, the universe, you kind of like
it gives you,
or tells you or asks you, like, how much, you know, how much you're willing to give.
How much you have.
Yeah, how much you're willing to give. So I was willing to do that throughout, what was it, from August. So I graduated in May of 2017. I got the job in August, went all the way till December. Yeah.
Wow.
And then what ended up happening was there was a little bit of infighting with the partners within the my two employers. There's actually two of them. So one of them split off, and then it kind of just went belly flop. It was just belly up after that. Yeah.
That's crazy. So what are some big audacious goals? You know, we talk about these things, I call them bags, big audacious goals. What are some big audacious goals you have for your brand?
Yeah. I've shared this to you, and I shared this with the restaurant mastermind group too. Number one is we're going to open up 3 locations there by 2023.
Right.
So everything's going to be in the next 3 years.
Yep.
We're going to go into supply, like wholesale. Right. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this, like what are our plans to go into that and what we can do with that. So I'll be the second one to be the supplier. And then 3, generate $1 million in revenue.
There you go.
Yeah. By 2023.
I love those.
Yeah.
So how important is, you know, and I know you've been through the ups and downs of this, and now you've probably looked back on it, but how important is hiring to your restaurant?
Yeah. don't hire your friends. Don't hire your family. Nope. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's very important. Very, very important. You really need to find the right person. You know, it's not normally, it's not the best person on paper. It's the right one. And, you know, we've gone through coaching about that too, where, you know, maybe they're like the best rolled ice cream maker at Swirls, right? They can go toe to toe with me, and where it's just like straight, almost look like a whole machine, just no mistakes, just efficiently cups of ice cream being just churned and produced. It's almost like a whole crazy efficient machine going on at a Swirl Stream with them. But it just feels like when you walk in the room, you got to walk on eggshells and like,
negative energy vampires.
Exactly. You know, the gossip, right. Was it selfish behavior, entitlement behavior, right. That it's very important to like kind of weed out for that. And, you know, protect your brand. That's something that we talk about all the time. We protect your brand at all cost, no matter what.
Yep.
So
protect the brand.
One thing that, and I also think that I was also a different person too. I don't think I was ready for that too. And I think I needed more for that. But the one thing for me was that I should have gotten rid of people a lot sooner than I actually did. But I think I just wasn't ready for that. Mm-hmm. And speaking of hiring and speaking of, in terms of our labor costs, I know like now our prime cost is like pretty crazy, right?
you have one of the best prime costs I've ever seen.
I'm pretty damn proud of it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's like one of the best ones I've ever seen in my life. So
yeah, and we're constantly improving on it too, especially with KPIs. You know, we're constantly improving on it. Even though like I've been a little lazy on the KPI. I'll admit that live. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, yo, bad owner. There you go.
Yeah, when somebody in the mastermind group says Mariah, I make them slap their hands and say bad owner.
Yeah, there you go.
Bad owner.
Yeah, you know, but I was out there looking for locations and stuff, so kind of like, but no excuse. You gotta do it. I know.
Gotta do it.
I think for us, our labor costs, just hourly wages alone, right? Hourly labor wages alone before we got onto coaching. And also a little bit into the 6 month mark of our coaching together on one-on-one. I'm getting a little conscious about this because it's just those things where it's like a mistake that you made and you're just like, now looking back on it, you learned a lot. But what happened was this: our hourly wages alone accounted for 42%.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not even counting in payroll tax or workers' comp insurance. And the reason for that was because so many people were coming in to work at Swirls and then so many people were leaving. Our turnover was through the roof.
Yeah, you were super high.
Yeah, on average, people would stay for 1 to 3 months and then leave. And so I think that one day I looked in the mirror and I was like, I don't feel like this is right. I feel like there's another way for this and we shouldn't have this high of a turnover. And so I really had to look in the mirror and see who's actually causing that turnover. And it's not them. It's more me really. And I'm comfortable saying this. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't the type of a company that, you know, people would like to work at. I wasn't the type of leader that people would like to work for on top of that. Right. So I had to go through that personal coaching and I had to go through, you know, some of those dark places and, give myself that forgiveness, give myself that compassion. Like compassion is one of our core values, right? That I'm still learning, I'm still growing and that, you know, moving forward, we're not going to do that anymore. And so almost like a light bulb, flip of a switch, it's changed overnight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you know, maybe some of the listeners don't know, but you know, I'm working on my third book right now. My first book was Your Restaurant Sucks. Second book, Your Restaurant Still Sucks. Third book coming out in January 2021 is Your Restaurant Culture Sucks. And you know me, I'm a huge advocate. Now we talk a lot on the mastermind groups about culture, and I think it's really influential to restaurant success. What would you say is one of the keys to creating culture?
One of the ways to create culture, I think, kind of like going back to the beginning answer, I think you got to live it. I think the leader, the owner, managers, anybody in leadership position, they got to own it and they have to set the example every single day. And it's discipline, really. I know Jocko Willink talks about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about discipline every single day.
Equal freedom.
Yeah, exactly. You got to show up every day. You got to show up. Now,
it's not. Write that shit down. Hashtag write that down. Discipline equals freedom. Hashtag write that shit down.
No, it's not easy. It's really not easy. It's every day you have to do the work and you got to show up every single day.
Exactly.
And you have to you know, prove it by actions, really.
That is so true. So what is one of the benefits you see of being in Restaurant Masterminds in the group?
It's like a wealth bank that you can make deposits and withdrawals of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like someone in my position, right? I just turned 25 back in September. And so someone as young as me, you know, being around these restaurant owners and mm-hmm. operators and restaurant leaders, it's amazing.
And some are pretty seasoned. I mean, some have been in business 20, 30 years, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So every single time, like when we have these calls every Monday, it kind of ups up my game mm-hmm. where it's like, oh shoot, I'm not doing enough. Maybe I should like do more videos. And, like, no, for real. Like straight up. I'm like, okay, maybe I should like take a look at my editing and maybe like mm-hmm. see where I can improve on this. Yeah. 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 So it ups up my game really. And, there's a saying that we say, iron sharpens iron, and it's very true. It's very true. So there's a lot of value in that. Think about it, when I think about it this way, it's like, I don't think I'll be able to get as far, especially during COVID, especially right now,
mm-hmm.
had it not been for the Restaurant Mastermind group. And it's a great networking opportunity too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, we have people from like 7 different countries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All vast amount of experience, vast amount of knowledge. And it's been amazing. It's been a great learning experience. I feel like I've grown a lot just by being exposed to the amount of talent within this group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say, how do you deal with stress? Because, you know, we all have to deal with stress and, you know, this pandemic is crazy. So how do you deal with stress?
Push-ups. Push-ups, yeah.
Lots of push-ups.
Push-ups, you gotta lift something, you gotta hit something, you know. I think a lot of times it's just also accepting reality too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think personally when COVID hit, and we've talked about this too, when you received a phone call from me back in March where LA County got too crazy. In terms of like COVID cases, confirmed cases, hospitalizations, that everyone was staying inside, and we were put in the situation where it was basically cheaper to close than to actually operate. And so we had that talk. And so for a couple of weeks after that, I was stressed out. I really was. But after, you know, a couple of calls from you and I in private, we just said like, hey, this is reality. It's what we can, mm-hmm. well, what can we do right now? What can we control? Right. What are the three things you can control? And so that's one thing I remember. And so I can control what I think, I can control what it means, and I can control my actions from here on out.
Yeah, that's true.
So we just plot out a new course and then figure out a game plan to come back.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I have to say is like, you know, if people are members of our mastermind group, you know, you get access to me just beyond our normal calls. Like, you know, Phil, how easy is it to get a hold of me and to get some input on something?
Yeah, I'll just shoot you a text.
You get my personal number. Shoot me a text if you want to talk. I mean, I always try to make myself available to everyone in my mastermind group and also my private coaching clients because, I mean, I work for you. So
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you have the resources you need and tools you need.
Yeah. And if it's a more complex mm-hmm. issue, then I'll book a call with you. Yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, we talk about, and especially in the mastermind group, we talk a lot about KPIs, key performance indicators. What is your favorite KPI to watch?
Guest check average all the time. I love that one. Yeah. So whatever we can do, I'm always talking to the team about that. Discounts is also a big one too. Mm. We're always monitoring that as well. One big thing would be wastes too, like mistakes, employee mistakes. Yeah, that goes into our discounts as well. So that kind of raises it up. So guest check average, number one for me, number two would be discounts and comps. Mm-hmm. Guest check average, that's one thing that I preach about. Before we start our shift, we kind of talk about those things. Yeah. Like, hey, this is where we're at. This is where we want to be at. Now, what mm-hmm. are some things that we can do?
Right. And we talked about that just on Monday on the Mastermind group call. We talked about being transparent and always be preaching, always having a pre-shift, always being transparent about your numbers, always sharing the data from your KPIs, your key performance indicators with your team, so they know what your goals are and where we're going and what direction. Because if you don't tell them, they don't do anything, right?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. And so we have a program at Swirls Creamery called Swirls University.
It's kind of really cool. I like that.
Yeah. So I literally, when we have some free time on slow days, so like maybe on Monday and also Wednesday, so we'll stop what we're doing and we pop open my laptop and we go through lesson plans and we take out notes and then we discuss what we were learning. And so the last lesson we did was the neuroselling. Yeah. So we did that and two of my team members went through that. Mm-hmm. We talked about KPIs as well. So one of our team members is so into the KPIs now that he's actually watching it out for us.
Oh, wow.
Where, you know, at Swirls, we give employee benefits, you know, mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. want to, you know, purchase your own cup of ice cream, well, you get a nice discount to it. Right. And so I remember talking to this one team member, asking him like, hey, how come you don't use the discounts? I mean, it's there for you. I mean, you mm-hmm. deserve it. Right. I mean, you put in the effort, then yeah. And he tells me in verbatim, he's like, well, Phil, like I see our restaurant KPI for discounts and cops. I don't want it to raise. I want it to maintain it. So I'm going to buy it at full price. And I was like, wow, that hit me really strong. I was like, wow, well, thank you for that. You know, you watch out for me. I watch out for you. So let me go ahead and make you your cup of ice cream. I'll personally make your cup of ice cream. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah. Okay, sit back and relax, man. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, see? That's when you really start forming a cohesive team. When everyone's focused on the same mission and the core values and vision, and they're all working in unison of it. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like your team's either working with you or they're working against you.
Right.
And it took us a while, but I think we finally got your team in the spot where they're working with you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back into your hiring question too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, finding that out. Yeah. Yeah. And then just cut them out as soon as possible. As long as when they're giving you those red flags and they're showing you who they are, believe them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as they show you who they are, believe them. Right then, that's it. Yeah, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of keeping a toxic person is more damaging than letting them go. And I know a lot of owners feel the same way. They're scared. I'm going to run short-staffed, you know. But I'm telling you, the damage of a toxic person is like, toxicity is like cancer. And if you were found out you were diagnosed with cancer, would you like just like, well, you know, I'll deal with it next month? No, you'll get aggressive about it. You know, you mm-hmm. get aggressive about treatment. Same thing. If you find a toxic person in your restaurant working, you need to get aggressive about it.
Yeah. Get rid of them.
Get rid of them fast.
Get rid of them.
Fast, fast, fast.
I noticed the moment every single time I've gotten rid of somebody that was toxic to the culture, mm-hmm. the next day there's a sense of peace.
Yep.
You know, including the team. The team's mm-hmm. happier. Everyone's working optimally, right? Everyone has a kind of like a what do they call it? Like a little jump in their step. Yeah. What's that phrase? Right. Am I saying it right?
A little jump in their step.
Yeah, a little zip in their step. Yeah, seriously. Everyone's kind of like nicer. Everyone's like more calm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People are so happy when you get rid of the negativity mm-hmm. and the toxic team players. When you get rid of those, I'm telling you, it lightens up the whole atmosphere. Absolutely. And culture, to me, is actually it's energy. And we talk about this a lot, especially in the Mastermind group, that energy is everything. Mm-hmm. And energy starts with you. I say it all the time. Culture flows down, doesn't flow up. It starts with
oh,
you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So whenever I'm getting into that funk, and mm-hmm. I mean, I'm human, so we all get that those days mm-hmm. where we're just down. So I just be very straight up to my team, like, hey, I'm not feeling like myself today. Like, just give me like 5 minutes. I'm just gonna kind of like jog around the block and I'll come back. Hey. Right? Yeah. Or like I'll be in the kitchen. I'll do some of my push-ups. I'm gonna do my jumping jacks. Yeah.
Or we got like a video. We got playlists that we listen to that we have the Mastermind group for.
Yeah. I'll go in there. I'll meditate sometimes too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remove myself. If I feel like I'm not fit to lead for that day, then I remove myself. And I tell them, like, just give me about 5-10 minutes and be right back, right?
Change your state, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love the, you know, the one thing I want to talk about, I love your Swirls University. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. So I feel like one of the things that I've seen is that people say, like, you know, entry level job, like at an ice cream shop, you know, you're not going to really learn anything. I want to go ahead and be that, you know, pioneer of where you, when you come into Swirls Creamery and you're a team member of Swirls Creamery, you are going to learn a lot of things. So we talk a lot about P&Ls. How do you actually read a P&L statement? What do these terms mean? You know, and how these numbers translate into an ice cream operation. You know, what do they actually mean, and all that stuff. And what's the difference between, you know, we actually did this course a couple weeks back. What's the difference between, you know, customer service versus hospitality? Yep. Right? Like, tell me what's the difference, and tell me what's the common areas within those. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we talk about also too, we talk about, you know, the profit pyramid and stuff like that. We talk about the different cultures. Most restaurants have a training culture where they train on the front end when someone's hired, but there's no more training. Where everyone in our groups, our mastermind groups and our private coaching, you have to elevate your culture to either a training, to a learning culture, which is what you have. And then we move up to a leadership culture, especially when you're going to have like multiple units, then you're going to create, you're going to move that learning culture into a leadership culture.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what's that saying I always have? Don't train them till they get it right.
Train them till they never, ever get it wrong.
That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Just so we tell that, like, if
train them till they can't get it wrong. I said train them till you train out the old, all the bad habits.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'll have a roller come up to me. All right, Phil, I just finished my 1,000th roll. I'll be like, do 1,000 more.
Do 1,000 more. That's it.
Yeah. Do 1,000 more. Yeah.
1,000 more, man. That's it.
Do it until it's perfect. It's picture perfect. Where it's muscle memory. There's no mistakes. There's no second guessing whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. I think Malcolm Gladwell has a book out there called Outliers, and he talks about the 10,000 hour rule. And, you know, you don't really hit mastery until you hit over 10,000 hours of doing something. You know,
yeah, repetition.
Actually, I tracked it one time. I tracked how many hours I've worked in restaurants over the years. I've got over like 200,000 hours in restaurants. It's a lot of hours in a restaurant.
Well, and that's why you're a wealth of information. That's why, like, I go to you, you know, whenever something's going off, or like when something's going good too, like I'll ask, you know, I share all that with you. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And our mastermind groups have, you know, a different wealth. I mean, I have a certain set of experiences, you know, and a lot of people in our mastermind groups have different experience, which makes them, that's the power of a mastermind group, is all the different knowledge that comes together. Like you said, man, it's just like, you know, it's like a well. You just go to the well and just,
yeah, it's,
you know,
like a bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. You make your deposits and withdrawals. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, name one book or audiobook or podcast that you would recommend to someone, like, and I'm looking at someone like you, a young entrepreneur, not sure what they want to do, but they're, you know, they're maybe hesitant. What's something you would recommend a young entrepreneur like yourself?
A podcast. I really, really like Patrick Bet-David, Valuetainment, or the Bet-David podcast. Yeah. So the Valuetainment, that has a couple cool interviews, a lot of entrepreneurial stuff. Cool. Talks about, you know, economics as well. Patrick Bet, the Bet-David podcast keeps up with, like, you know, current news and stuff like that. I really like that a lot. Let's see. So far, those are the two podcasts, or like sort of like channels that I watch on a daily basis. In terms of Audible.
Yep. Audiobooks.
I like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon. Actually, so so I got the Audible version and also got the printed version. And so what I normally do so that I can just like really study it. So I'll have the audiobook playing on the background, and I'm actually reading along with it. And sometimes I'll like just rewind it and like replay it again and again and again before until like I can actually memorize it.
Yeah, that's one of my tricks, is I'll listen to the audiobook at 1.5 times while I'm reading, because I read pretty fast. Yeah. And then any books you recommend?
Any other books? Let's see.
Any books?
Books. The one we just did. Yeah, the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
21 Irrefutable Laws. That's
a good one. I think there's a lot of lessons within that. you know, that I think a lot of restaurant operators and owners and managers can benefit from if they're willing to, you know, do the time, do the work.
And then what is one quote you live by?
Okay, this is a shout out to Mama Lee, right? This is what the one thing she always just like hammers it in my mind. And she does it in both Mandarin and Cantonese too. And it goes by...
Right. You gotta say it in English, then you gotta say it in Mandarin, then you gotta say it in Cantonese.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'll do the Chinese versions, the Mandarin, okay. Cantonese, and then I'll do the English. Because it's okay. A little weird. Like when you translate it from English or from Mandarin to English or Chinese, okay. To English. So but it goes like this. So in Mandarin, it's Yang Mao Chu Zai Yang Shen Shang. And then Cantonese is Yang Mao Chu Zai Yang Shen Shang. And what it means is that after all, the sheep of the wool, the wool of the sheep comes off its own back.
Mm.
So it's kind of saying that nothing in life is free. In order to receive, you have to give. Or sacrifice, yeah. Yeah, so that's something that my mom has had done a really good job of, like, kind of hammering that into my mind as an early age.
That's awesome, yeah. I would say my favorite quote of all time is, and it's one is right behind my on my wall, and you've heard me say it before. It's a Zig Ziglar one. You can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. Mm-hmm. And that's one I live by. I live my brands live by it. My goal is to help people like you, you know, get the restaurant and the life that they want and the desire. And I feel it's my duty to help people break free from mediocrity. So, Phil, I want to say thanks for stopping on the show today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. Again, if anyone wants to connect with Phil, you can head over to his, you know, to his website, swirlscreamery.com. Also, you can check him out on Instagram. And in fact, I forgot to ask that question. What is your favorite social media platform?
For operating or
so give me both. Give me one. What's your favorite social media platform for work, and then one that you like personally?
Okay, for work, I like Instagram. That's something that I'm more comfortable with. And I know we've talked about this. Like, I need to start that YouTube channel.
Yeah,
I do need to start that YouTube channel. So, yep. What was it? Keep on a lookout for Swirl Screamer YouTube videos for that. If I'm just like relaxing and being stress free, I really like YouTube. Yeah, same thing. Spend a lot of time on YouTube. Yeah. Just because, like, for me, like, how I learned how to edit all those videos and stuff like that just off on YouTube, just like type it in, like, how to do this on X software. So that's basically how I learned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thanks for stopping by today, Phil. I really appreciate having on. So this episode will be actually up on my YouTube channel. And then it will be, I'll upload the audio on the podcast platforms that I'm on. I'm on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Player FM. I'm on all of them. So,
yeah. Anyway, well, Donald, again, thank you.
Thanks, Phil, for coming by. And, you know, just keep plugging away, man. You're doing great. So I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of all you've accomplished in the last year.
Oh, Coach, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And thank you so much for, you know, having me a guest on this podcast. Happy to be on here and try to share as much as possible. And thank you for your mentorship. Thank you for, you know, your leadership as well. I think a lot of things that I've been able to do is coming from your lessons, you know, really. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Alrighty, Coach. I'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.